Well, you've done it. You got the kids back to school. You sorted the uniforms and named enough things for a small army. No rest for the wicked, though. It's a new year and a new routine of juggling it all.
Well, maybe we can help. You can now get your Dunn's Store shop delivered same day by those lovely people at Buy Me. Just order your same day delivery straight from the Dunn's Store's app. What's more, delivery on your first four orders is free.
Don't forget it's swimming lessons tomorrow.
Minimum spend €30. Selected delivery areas only. Subject to availability.
Is Minnegan effectively five in a fair castarsenta, her horsey arrogatish wan? Is it the Rodinak meanling, I go horse torho, a jetrakavet in a gooshlen or ma? Gwilan stros earth, ten kadrith in ulcus. Jethak shamohu gwilan selik titima sechela, akta cower erfile. Fire asher and moher le service doch vinak den heren, agreed navsplach, a haurian le five in a fair castarsenta retok. Fake back and track punkai.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Today's episode, how strong should you be? And then we talk about the fastest way to get bigger and stronger at the same time. Now, because of this episode, we're doing a limited time offer for a power bundle, MAPS Strong and MAPS Powerlift. These are the best strength training or strength building programs that we have. You can get them both together for 73% off together. Okay. You find them at mindpumpmedia.com/power-bundle. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sponsor, Seed. This is the world's best probiotic. They literally lead the competitors are way ahead of everybody. It's the only probiotic I use on a consistent basis, and I've been using them for a very long time. Go check them out. Go to seed.com/mindpump. Then use the code 25mindpump and get 25% off your first month's order of Seed's Daily Symbiotic. All right, here comes the show. How strong should you be? Ever wonder if you're actually strong, or at least compared to people like yourself? Today's episode, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to help you determine how strong you should be, and also talk about the steps to getting strong as fast as possible. In fact, we're going to talk about the fastest way to get bigger and stronger all at the same time.
This I know keeps you, Adam up at night.
Yes, it does, actually. And I know that you wrote a really complex episode here, but I think Justin's metric has been the one I've been trying to live by for the last 5 years. As long as I can beat up all the other dads in my class, I'm strong enough.
I stand by that, dude.
That's my goal.
I saw a meme.
I size up all the dads in kindergarten class. All right, I'm good. I'm good still.
You're okay. You better have to work out for that. I saw a meme the other day where it said, I just started a lawnmower with one pull on a rival dad's lawnmower in front of his kid.
The ultimate flex, right? Walk over and start someone else's lawnmower, one pull. I like that.
All right, so let's talk about, we're going to get to strength metrics. We actually went on the internet and, you know, and we're going to discuss if we agree or not, but we found some numbers or percentages that would put you within a particular ranking. Like if you're good, optimal, advanced, or an athlete. And so we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about what makes you strong, like how you can get strong as fast as possible. But I think it's important to consider all of the variables that contribute to your strength, right?
Sure.
So everybody's different. I mean, this is really important.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. Genetics make a big difference here. They definitely matter. Some people are just going to be a lot stronger than you naturally, or have a much larger potential for strength. And coming from someone who's worked in the fitness space, I have seen the widest range of genetics with this, to the point where I've seen people who are so strong it's comical, to other side where it's like, you know, if we don't get stronger, this is gonna put your life at risk.
I also think it's important to note, I thought you did a really good job of breaking down the categories in a good range, but it's also important to understand that typically what will the things that will give you an advantage and make you strong in one category may hinder you in another one. So for example, I'm a tall, lanky guy, so pull-ups, deadlifts a work in my favor. So yeah. I so knowing that,
for that,
yeah. So I don't beat myself up over squatting. Like squatting is right. much more difficult. I have a long way to travel. I have long femurs. It's going to be. I'm not going to be as good of a squatter as I am a deadlifter. So there are some of the little bit of a variance there too.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like an age matters too. But at the end of the day, the here's what's important: are you improving?
Yes,
it's you versus you, yeah, as they say.
That's it. Like if you're training, you're exercising, you're consistent, and you're stronger today than you were 6 months ago, that's positive movement. You're moving in the right direction. And if you have the right attitude towards exercise, this is something to do for the rest of your life. And if you're continuing to progress, like you are kicking butt, period, end of story. So whenever we have somebody, in fact, call in and ask us questions, and inevitably it's like, how much muscle can I build and how am I doing? And it's like, you know, we ask them like, what were you lifting before? What are you lifting now? And there's an improvement. It's an improvement. Mm-hmm. You're doing the right thing. So don't get too caught up with this kind of stuff. But I get it. You know, yeah. This is stuff that used to interest me as well.
So no, I just want to know where you stack up against, you know, what the standards are, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a nice way to have sort of a guideline to just kind of compare.
Now, look, you could be really strong in a lot of different exercises in different ways. So we picked the exercises that probably, you know, communicate overall strength the best. And I say probably because if you play a particular sport or you want a specific type of strength, then some of what we're about to say might not matter at all. But generally speaking, these exercises in combination kind of paint a relatively overall picture of strength.
Oh, well, not only that, but I mean, these exercises are the exercises that we encourage all of our listeners to get good at and get strong at, because they're the biggest bang for your buck in all pursuits.
They tend to be the best.
Whether you're trying to get strong, leaner, more definition, look better. I mean, better this physique, is, yeah. These movements, I mean, the movements that we're talking about, if you did only these movements and just got stronger in those, you're going to see a significant improvement in all pursuits.
Right, right. Yeah. So let me tell you the exercises first, right? So we picked the squat. This is a very foundational human movement. Bilateral, it's two legs. You're squatting down, squatting up. It's a really good measure of lower body strength, but also of back strength and overall stability. Then you have a horizontal press. This is a bench press. So this really highlights how strong you are pushing things away from your body. Then there's a deadlift. This is lifting something off the ground. This is highlighting strength in your hips, the posterior chain, your back. This also highlights your grip strength. We have a vertical press, an overhead press. So this is stability in your entire body. Of course, your arm and shoulder strength. And then we included a body weight exercise. And the reason why I did this is whenever we list the big four, inevitably there's someone that's like, well, I'm smaller, I'm lighter. Like, what about me? It's like, well, body weight exercise will be easier for you. And on the flip side, you're a big, heavy person. You may lift a lot of weight with this kind of stuff, but then you find body weight exercises to be quite difficult.
Kind of an equalizer.
And lifting and moving your body weight is very functional. Like if you're really strong at moving your body through space, that translates to the real world and to sports incredibly, incredibly well. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the strength standards for the squat. And we've divided them into male and female, okay? So because they're different for male and female. And the categories are decent, good, optimal, advanced, and then athlete, okay? So decent, and now this is what I like about this list, is we didn't just give you like this percentage of your body weight. We also gave you a number. In other words, if you're a big, heavy person, percentage of your body weight starts to get way more difficult, right? You're a 270-pound man, squatting, you know, two times your body weight becomes a lot more impossible. So there's a number and or a percentage of your body weight. Yeah. So decent for a man is 185-pound squat or one time your body weight. Good, 225 or 1.2 times your body weight. Optimal is 255 or 1.5 times your body weight. Advanced is 315 or 1.75 times your body weight. And an athlete is over 365 or two times your body weight. By the way, your best lifts, you guys all went athlete, I'm assuming. I think I know your best squat.
Yeah, but it's not, if I went by 365 or above, technically it wasn't two times my body weight because at that time I was 225. Mm. So that'd be
405?
Yeah, I was at 425.
Oh, okay.
So close. close to it, but not exactly. So I would fall in the advanced athlete for my squat.
Yeah.
Deadlift,
yeah.
Yes, though, when we get to that.
Justin, but, and for sure
you pressed squat. Up. Yeah. Yeah. I got up to 500 at some point at the 230. So
is that 2 times your body weight? Is that
more? At 500?
Yeah.
I should hope so.
0.25.
0.25.
All right. Got that.
You didn't catch that. I know. He's like, that was such an insult and so off. He's
now,
like,
as let me ask you guys this. So let's go through the female first, and we'll I got a question this
later.
And then I got a question.
You're really mad.
Female squat standards: decent, 95 pounds or 0.8 times your body weight. Good is 135 or 1 time your body weight. Optimal 185 or 1.3 times your body weight. Advanced 215 or 1.5 times your body weight. Athlete is 235 or more. Or 1.75 times your body weight. Okay, looking at these numbers, you guys, and when we train clients, now all of us fitness fanatics, Justin was a college athlete. I was fanatical beyond whatever. Adam was a pro physique competitor. So I would expect us to be in the kind of advanced, you know, athlete level. I've known people, by the way, to crush these numbers. But what about our clients? How do you agree with these numbers?
I do. These are, I think you did.
They're pretty accurate.
They're really accurate. I'd say most my female clients that train with me for a good period of time, meaning 6 months or more that have been with me, I could at least get all of their squats up to 185.
Yes. Yes.
That was pretty standard. It was definitely unique to get my female clients above 200.
Yeah.
So handful
of special.
The,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Client. If I had a girl that was squatting 200, 205, 225, like she was unique. She was special. That's incredibly impressive. But 185 was pretty. And I would get them below that. Like a lot of times they would start off barely being able to squat 100.
Or
and
the
I could,
bar.
Yeah. I could, and I could get them all the way up to 185.
I could get pretty confidently. Almost any healthy woman. Up to about 115 to 135 pounds, almost any healthy woman. Once they were getting older, then 95 pounds would be kind of where we're at. But, you know, looking at these numbers, I would say it's pretty realistic for the average person to either be good or optimal, male or female. I'd say it's pretty realistic for most people. Once you get to the higher levels, now you're probably throwing in some genetics and fanaticism and the like.
And I think generally speaking, that's a pretty good goal for most people.
It's a great goal.
It's like, you should be shooting for that good to optimal range.
Yeah. If you're a healthy, 40-year-old man and you can squat 255, or you're doing pretty good. Or if you're a female, 185, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're doing really good.
Yeah.
All right. So next is bench press. Doug, if you could scroll down so we can look at that. So with bench press, we have for men, decent is 135 or 0.75 times your body weight. Good, 185 or 1 times your body weight. Optimal, 235 or 1.3 times your body weight. Advanced is 275 or 1.5 times your body weight. Athlete, 315 or 1.75 your body weight. You guys all hit athlete.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. So did I.
Those are the better ones.
Yeah. Now, let's go through women and then we'll talk about how realistic these are again. For women, decent is 80 pounds or 0.865 your body weight. Scroll. There we go. Good is 95 pounds or 0.7 times your body weight. Optimal is 115 pounds or 0.85 times your body weight. Advanced, 135 or 1 time your body weight. And an athlete, 165 or 1.25 times your body weight. This is a pretty good numbers, I would say. More rare for women to hit some of these numbers.
For sure. I was just going to say that. I was going to say this one, it would probably be the most challenging as far as, like I said, I think I could get most of my female clients, the numbers that we have for deadlifting and squatting, this is true though, right? Like when it comes to muscle development in the lower body, men and women are, as far as their ability to build muscle.
I mean, men are stronger, but the difference isn't nearly as high as upper body.
Yeah, there's a huge discrepancy in our upper body. Our lower body, we're relatively the same as far as what we have potential for. Not necessarily like a woman should be able to lift the same.
The athlete number for man, 315, I had, as in terms of clients, I don't think I ever had a client hit 315. I had a client hit 275, but that was it.
For men?
Yes. My strong men were able to do 225.
Yeah.
For a single. Women, I had one woman once be able to do 135, and that was it. Most of the women I trained who were strong, like 115 was the number I would hit.
Yeah, 45 on each side.
That was a huge milestone. That was kind of a goal for most of my clients that wanted to get strong, was if my girls could put the wheels on, right? That was a big deal. Like, that's a good goal to get there.
Yep.
So
all right, deadlifts. Let's talk about the deadlift. So decent for a man, 185 pounds or one time their body weight. Good, 245 or 1.3 times your body weight. Optimal, 300 pounds or 1.65 times your body weight. Advanced, 350 pounds or two times your body weight. Athlete, 405 pounds or 2.25 times their body weight. I think all of us hit.
It was barely made that one.
Did you?
Yeah. We all hit that one. That was not my best.
That for sure is my best lift. My was.
Well, you're like me in the flip of this, Justin, where I fall under the athlete category if I go by the weight, but if I go 2.25 times in the squats, I wouldn't have made the squat number, but I make the total number, and I think that's what you are here too, right?
Yeah, I've done three times my body weight in a deadlift. That was the most I ever did times body weight, and then total pounds 605. But that's the one lift I can do that's mine.
Yeah, it's your bread and butter. That's for it. Sure.
Female deadlift standards, 135 or one time body weight is decent. Good is 185 or 1.3 times body weight. Optimal, 215 or 1.65 times body weight. Advanced, 265 or two times body weight. Athlete, 295 or 2.25 times.
Look at the difference there with those standards for deadlift and squat.
Yes.
It's pretty crazy. So it makes a lot of sense.
Interesting too. I had more success getting female clients up to the deadlift.
Yes. Really
high. So I had more advanced people. So I had quite a few girls that I could get
I've
up
had
over.
A few to 225.
It took to the deadlift real quickly, it seemed. Yeah, for sure.
275 was the biggest deadlift I had a female client deadlift. I never had a female client deadlift close to 300 pounds. Next is the overhead press. So decent for a man, 95 pounds or 0.5 times your body weight. Good is 135 or 0.65 times your body weight. Optimal, 165 or 0.85 times your body weight. Advanced, 185 or one times your body weight. And then athletes, 200 pounds or 1.25 times your body weight. I think we all hit that one.
I don't know what the most I've ever overhead pressed before. That's a good question. I don't know. That's always been one that...
You've never tested.
I shied away going like max weight, like to see. Like I don't think I've ever. I did some heavy push presses with Justin before, where
push press. Yeah, my number's a little skewed on that because like that's kind of what I think of. But
I was pressed.
yeah. Strict press.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. And that's also the only time I felt comfortable with like strict pressing really heavy weight like that. That's singles,
hard,
doubles.
It's like two-thirds.
Hard, and I've always been like weary of doing that because I don't want to arch my back. Or end up injuring myself, so I've kind of stayed away from doing that. I wonder where I know for sure I'm in the advanced. I don't know if I hit the athlete.
Strict press at advanced, but I think push press. That's why I was all proud, and then you said that. I'm like, oh, never mind.
Sorry, and, push press. I got some good numbers.
I know I've strictly done 185 though. I definitely have strictly 185.
What do you have? You hit 315 overhead?
315.
Holy cow!
Yeah, push press.
That's crazy. Yeah. All right, female overhead press standards. Decent is 45 pounds. Or 0.35 times their body weight. Good is 65 or 0.5 times body weight. Optimal, 95 pounds or 0.75 times their body weight. Advanced is 105 pounds or 0.8 times their body weight. Athlete is 120 pounds or 0.9 times their body weight. I think that's pretty good, pretty accurate.
Yeah. And
very rarely.
I haven't seen much strength in this lift with my female clients. Mm-hmm. That's a very rare one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm trying to think if I've peaked over 100 with a female client.
I had a couple do 105, but they were both early 30s and very consistent with their work. And they were strong. They were really, really strong. Never saw more than that for clients. I had some female trainers that could get 125. I don't think I ever saw a female press over one. I know they do. They can, but I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
All right, pull-ups. Now we're talking about body weight. So those of you that are, smaller, you're like, all right, when are we getting to the pull-up?
Hey, what about us, you guys?
For a man, decent is 3, good is 8, optimal is 12, advanced is 15, athlete is 20.
Is 3 considered decent even, huh?
Decent. Average man can't do 1.
Is that true?
I bet if you pull the average dude out.
For a guy?
That's really? In their 30s and 40s, like 40, they won't be able to do 1.
Really?
Like
well, unless they lift.
I didn't realize we've gotten that weak.
Yeah. I mean, 20-year-old dude, probably.
That's embarrassing.
I didn't know that would even be considered decent like that. That's interesting. Yeah. Although I can't remember.
It's not average, right? So they're trying to say it's. But you're right. 3 sounds like it's kind of.
To your earlier point, like some of my friends that lifted real heavy, like couldn't do a pull up because they're just huge guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you hung out with a lot of linemen and shit.
A lot of linemen. I worked out with a lot of those guys.
This was an exercise that I sucked at, and I just practiced, and I got really, really good where I could rep out 25 reps. But at one point, I remember. Like 10 was just crazy challenge for me. Female pull-up standards. One is decent. Three is good. Optimal is five. Advanced is eight. Athlete is 12.
That's impressive. A girl that can get over 10 pull-ups is really, really impressive. Yeah. And also rare.
Badass. When I first started dating Jessica, this is right out of Cirque du Soleil when she used to do the silks. She'd do 10 pull-ups with her legs out in front of her, holding on to the silks, not even a bar back in those days, which was insane.
That's crazy.
I couldn't do that. All right, so let's talk about, okay, so you're listening to this and you're like, all right, I want to see if I can get stronger as fast as possible. What are the steps to doing so? I think it's important for people to understand that although muscle size, how hard the muscles contract, play a role in strength for sure. Bigger muscles, you know, on the same person will lift more than the smaller muscles will, or if that muscle's smaller. But a lot of people don't realize that strength is a skill as well. And one of the fastest ways to get stronger is to practice whatever that lift is or that exercise is you want to get good at
frequently.
Often.
Yes.
Practice it often, often, often. Like, in other words, if you want to get better at the bench press, and normally when you work out, you hit chest on Mondays and Thursdays, and you do a bunch of exercises. If you stop doing that part of your workout, if you stop doing chest on Mondays and Thursdays, and all you did was 5 days a week, you bench pressed. Mm-hmm. You did three sets of bench press, varying degrees of intensity.
It's just load management. And intensity management. If you get that down perfect and you keep practicing it where you're not overwhelming yourself, you're able to recover
fully. You're not hammering yourself.
Man, you get strong.
Fast.
Very fast. I mean, this applies to all exercises, but this becomes a paramount to compound lifts. And meaning when you have multiple joints involved in a movement, multiple joints also take multiple muscles to move that one joint. So you have a symphony of muscles that all need to work together in order to perform a movement. That's why this becomes such a big deal to practice this. It's not as simple as like, oh, just flex your elbow and you know you get your I can curl and work my bicep.
Complexity.
There's a lot of complexity to all of these movements, and so much of the skill of getting better and stronger at them is the practicing part.
There was a period there where there was this popular, and it was back in the, I think it was when bodybuilding.com was really popular on the internet and had all these forums. And there was this popular workout on these forums, and it was the squat
every day.
The squat every day program. Remember that? And back then, the most prevalent theory around exercise was kind of this bodybuilding approach, right? Hit your legs once a week or whatever. And this approach came out, squat every day. Now, what they did is they did a good job of managing the load. Some days were hard, some days were easy, some days were light but faster. And so you're managing the intensity. You can't go hard every single day. You got to kind of, but you're practicing the squat. And people were like, I added 50 pounds in my squat. I added 70 pounds in my squat. I added 30 pounds in my squat. And people were so blown away. Now, what happened was a lot of people took that too far.
Yes.
And did everything all the time and then burnt themselves out. So this works really well when it's one lift. If you do all the lifts like this all the time, probably going to be too
much. I just did a little clip on the series that I'm shooting right now, and I know you guys have experienced this too. Deadlifting for me is the place I see it the most, and I don't know if that has something to do with that's one of my stronger lifts or not, but I'll do a set of eight reps, and between each rep, I'm thinking about my technique of it. And there is a significant difference in when my technique is flawless versus just off of perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes the weight feel half the weight. Totally. It's like that crazy of a difference of just loading the hips, engaging them correctly, everything stiff like it's supposed to, and then it fires just the right.
Clicks.
And then all of a sudden that bar moves up like there's no weight on it. And then just me slightly being off, just so slightly that nobody else would even be able to tell. The average person looking at me be like, oh, that was perfect too. They have no idea.
But you can feel it.
But I can feel it. And all of a sudden the weight feels twice as, I mean, that's how much of a difference the practicing the technique.
That's part of it, right? Because if you were to take like a long stick and I were to hold one end of it and you put 10 pounds in the middle of it, it would feel very different than if you move 10 pounds 6 inches out to the end. Feel much heavier. This is what happens with your technique. If you're off a little bit, the efficiency of the muscle contraction. You lose 5% of your strength. You could even lose more than that.
Performance leaks.
By being off those performance leaks. And then also you mentioned the symphony of the muscles working together. I like to think of just the example I like to think of is the game of tug of war. Remember that when you people would get on both sides and you pull, and what you realize is the team that typically wins is the team that knows how to pull at the same time. Like they'll hold, pull together, hold, pull together, versus the other side where just everybody's trying to pull as hard as they can and some are pulling hard, some are resting or whatever. It's that working together.
Unison,
And then lastly, the central nervous system, the more you practice a movement, the harder it fires, the better, if the more efficient it becomes. So the central nervous system, which communicates to the muscles, which tells them how hard to contract. And by the way, your central nervous system is never telling your muscles to contract to the full capacity. It's very rare. And the reason is the risk of injuries there. There's like 10%, 15%, some people 30%.
Well, that's strength the limiter. Left. That's always the limiter. It's yes. And that's why you practice it more often. You're teaching your central nervous that's system right. that you have all the checks and balances in place. You're able to properly stabilize and protect around the joints. And so it recognizes that, now it delivers more force.
Yes. In fact, this is where you heal the story of the person, you know, the mom will save their kid by lifting the car, something that was imperceptible. It's because under extreme duress, the central nervous system shuts off the safeguards and says, go for it if you hurt yourself or whatever. This is obviously a stressful situation. So in other words, practice often, your CNS learns how to fire harder and usually get stronger.
Now, I love that you ordered these like this, because obviously it starts with the sending the signal, practicing as often as possible. That in itself will make a difference for people regardless, right? If you don't practice it and you do start to practice it, you'll see improvement no matter what else you do. But the very next most important thing, in my opinion, that you want to do if you are going to get stronger, build as much muscle as possible, is you got to hit those protein targets.
That's right.
You're sending a loud signal by practicing these incredible lifts. But if you do not give it the building blocks to go to work and build, you're just not going to.
Yes. Yes. High protein in terms of strength and muscle hypertrophy is so strongly connected to muscle growth. It's one of the most consistent things that you see in diet. So diet studies are often challenging because it's hard to control them. There tends to be conflicting messages, what's healthy, what's not healthy. This works for some people, this works for some. But high protein in every study that's done on strength, up to a certain point, right? So you can just eat, and then it's past a certain point, you're not gonna get any benefit. But it gets pretty high. Like, eating a gram of protein per pound of body weight is right around the limit. That's a lot of protein. Like, most people listening, watching this, do not eat their body weight in grams of protein day in and day out. They may do it here and there, but they almost inevitably don't do it on a consistent basis. But if you did, the data is clear. Like, you will do nothing else. You just do that, you'll get stronger. It makes that big of a difference.
Yeah, and it's in the consistency behind it too, because I think the other part is people will do it here and there, and then they'll do it 4 days out of the week, and then 3 days of the week, they're in a deficit or they're missing their protein intake. So it can't be one of those things where, like, oh yeah, I'm pretty good about hitting my protein. It's got to be something that you are absolutely, if we are trying to build as much muscle as possible, it's got to be one of those staple things that, like, I cannot miss that protein intake.
And you said consistent. The body doesn't have really a good storage mechanism for amino acids. In other words, fat, your body has a great way of storing energy and body fat. Your body can store a decent amount of carbohydrates in the form of glycogen, but muscle is where you have your protein in your body, and your body doesn't want to eat away itself. No. So you can go, you know, going without hitting those protein targets for a couple days makes a difference. That's why it's so important to be consistent. Yeah. All right, next is to eat in a calorie surplus, meaning you want to eat more calories than you're burning. And now, the reason for this is, first off, a higher calorie diet tends to contribute to a stronger central nervous system. One of the ways the body adapts to a lower calorie diet is by weakening most of its signaling. Okay, one of those is central nervous system. This is why, one of the reasons why you'll be low energy when you're low calorie. So even if you're, even just bumping your calories alone tends to make you a little bit stronger with nothing else changing. But this is imperative because you need to feed the strength gains and the muscle gains. You have to have extra calories to do so. Otherwise, you'll kind of stay the same.
Well, your body is in one or two things always. It is either anabolic or it is catabolic, always. It's never somewhere in the middle. It is always one or the other. And in order for it to be anabolic, we have to be in a surplus. We've got to be in a caloric surplus. Otherwise, it's catabolic, which means it's breaking down. And the last thing we wanted to do is break down, pare down, lose muscle. If your goal is to build muscle, get stronger, we want to be sending that anabolic signal as much as possible. A calorie surplus is the way we do that.
That's it. And lastly, get 8 hours of sleep every single night. There's a few reasons why this is important. One is it optimizes your hormones. If you sleep great, your hormones tend to organize them themselves in a way that is pro muscle, anti-fat. It's improving your performance and your strength. It's not so worried about storing calories. Poor sleep does the opposite. Poor sleep contributes to muscle loss, contributes to fat storage. But you also have the recovery aspect of it. The majority of the muscle repair and adaptation that happens when you sleep. Some of it happens during the day too, don't get me wrong, but when you sleep, it's turbocharged. This is when things are really starting to build. And then lastly, your central nervous system. This is how powerful an effect sleep has on your central nervous system. Tonight, you want to test this out. Have crappy sleep tonight. Go work out. See how strong you are. One night.
I know.
Like, you didn't lose muscle in one night. You didn't, but here's what happened. Your central nervous system is weak.
It's fried.
It's fried from one night of bad sleep.
You find out how crucial it is once you get to the gym. That's for sure.
And it has to be a consistent one as well. By the way, you want to add to this, that means you need to go to bed 8.5 hours before you want to wake up. So you give yourself some leeway to go to sleep. And then go to bed and wake up at the same time every day, because if you get 8 hours every night, but you go to bed late Friday, wake up late Saturday, so by the time you get to Monday, you have jet lag, and that also contributes to the, you know, that
everything is just going to be fighting against you, like your energy, your hormones imbalanced, and just your overall, like what you can draw from in your performance is going to be really low.
Well, that's this is so important. Like, okay, sleep is always important. You're always going to hear that in the list of things that you should do. But when you are pushing the boundaries, you are trying to gain muscle, gain strength. It's different than like, oh, trying to maintain being healthy or maintain, like you're pushing intensity levels. You're stretching your body's abilities and capacity. The importance of recovery and sleep at that point becomes paramount. It's always important, but it becomes paramount when you are trying to stretch your capacity, grow and build. If you're not sleeping, you could have the best workout program in the world. You could even hit your protein intake like you're supposed to. But if you're fried and you're not getting rest and recovery, the body will not recover, and it will not build, and it will not adapt.
If that intensity goes up, you got to match that with your recovery.
That's right. All right. So we have some questions, Doug, from listeners.
Yeah, we do. The first one is, how realistic is it that I can reach advanced levels of strength?
You know, I'm going to create an avatar of a person that would have the potential to hit those advanced or athlete levels of strength. I would say you're probably under the age of 45. So between the ages of, let's say, 25 and 45, no major injuries. And you've been working out consistently for like 3 to 5 years at least, and you have a good diet, then I'd say a decent chunk of people can probably hit those advanced to athlete levels. Otherwise, it can be more difficult. Like once you start to get to 50s, 60s, or if you have had major injuries, or you're like, I've been working out for 6 months, like then it becomes unrealistic.
Oh, I would make the argument everybody. Athlete is, you know, you're talking about what you're saying. You need to be healthy, you gotta be in a certain range, level, you've been lifting for a while. But I don't know. I feel like advanced. I mean, when we went through those categories, I feel like there was no category in there that I haven't been able to train a client, which I feel like I've trained all different types of people.
It was like a peak level of client.
Yeah.
In terms of like where you could get them from what I saw in terms of like those.
Yeah, standards. Definitely.
I had a lot of clients that were over 55.
I guess that's true. Yeah. You trained more. Yeah. You were definitely more advanced age. And so maybe that's a little unrealistic for somebody that's pretty old, deconditioned.
But like 25 to 45, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, most people, the advanced is a good goal, no matter what. Like I think it's a good goal to have, and it's realistic expecting somebody in advanced age, chronic issues, stuff going on. Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, about getting the advanced athlete, you're probably targeting more optimal, which would still be phenomenal.
The next question is, I just want to build muscle. Is strength still important?
Super important.
Just the most important. That's all.
Yeah, they just kind of go together.
Nothing like strength is very strongly connected and correlated to muscle. It doesn't guarantee muscle gain, but if he keeps getting stronger, it guarantees muscle gain. Like you add 50 pounds to lifts, you've got more muscle. It's just the way it works.
I do think that, okay, this is kind of a bit of a good or nuanced question, because there is a part, like, okay, so for a very long period of time, I didn't care about strength. I really didn't care how much weight I was lifting on the bar. It really was not a focus of mine. In fact, I didn't try PR stuff until I was damn near 30 years old. And I built a pretty good physique. So it's not like you can't build a, but I was getting stronger, right?
Yes, so that's right. Yes.
So I guess you can have a goal of you're not obsessed with getting a higher bench or higher
max strength.
Yeah, right. You're just like I'm strong. Yeah, I'm challenging myself through the program, but I'm not this, focused just on the weight on the bar. Like, there's a lot of ways for you to progressively overload besides just.
Would say this becomes most important in the first 3 years of training. Like, the first 3 years of training, like, strength is the most important thing to chase because it's going to give you everything.
Yeah.
After that, then, you know, once you get to it, like, you get really strong and whatnot, then, you know, you could change ways of progressive overloading with technique and feel and focus and ranges of motion and stuff like that. Because obviously you can't get strong forever.
Yeah, you're thinking more longevity and also risk reward at that point too. If you can establish that strength focus in the beginning, like, you can build so much more off of that versus the other way around.
Totally.
Next question is, what are the best strength supplements?
So barring, protein powders to help you hit those protein targets, and let's say a nutrient that you may be deficient in. So besides those, because those make a big difference. You're not hitting your protein targets. You throw a protein shake in that makes you hit those targets.
Steroids.
Big deal. That's not a supplement.
Mexican supplement.
I know. Besides that, the one supplement that will raise your strength immediately is caffeine. Now, this is study after study after study. If you perform a lift and you've had a appropriate amount of caffeine for your body, and some people are too sensitive to do this, but most people, you'll see a strength gain immediately. It just works. Second, takes a little longer for it to work, but it's also quite consistent, is creatine.
Yeah.
Creatine will add, in my experience, for pretty much every client ever trained, after about 1 or 2 weeks, they all added about 5 pounds or 2 reps to pretty much every lift. Yeah. That was like the number.
2 reps was pretty standard.
I just want to reiterate what you started with, because in my experience, people just skipped the essential thing and went goes right to like, oh, what are the performance ones? Yeah. The creatine or the caffeine.
You're not hitting your protein. Who cares?
Well, and not only that, but I don't think I've ever trained a client that wasn't deficient in iron, vitamin D, magnesium, some of these other essential things, essential micronutrients that your body needs. And I just don't think we highlight this enough in strength and bodybuilding community, that supplementing for what your body needs first, which, by the way, is way cheaper. So finding out, getting your blood work done, finding out where you potentially are lacking, and then supplementing for what your body needs. It's amazing how much more optimally your body will build muscle, burn body fat, and build strength when you get what your body needs first. Then we can talk about, oh, creatine is awesome. Oh, caffeine could be awesome. Oh, like those other supplements. But I can't stress enough the importance of doing that first before you even consider doing other supplements, because that's a must.
100%. All right. So here's what we did, right? So we have 2 workout programs that are ideal for building strength. Like, if you want to get stronger, the 2 programs that we have that are the best for that are MAPS Power Lift, which focuses on the power lifts, right? Bench, deadlift, and squat. And then MAPS Strong, which gets you stronger at the kinds of lifts that strongman competitors train in. So those 2 programs right there, if you were to get them together without what I'm about to say, without the discount, would be almost $300. But right now, if you go to mindpumpmedia.com/power-bundle, you can get both of those together, okay, for total $79.99. So instead of $300, it's right around $80, so $79.99. That's 73% off. Again, it's mindpumpmedia.com/power-bundle. That gets you MAP Strong and MAPS Powerlift. Also, if you want to find us on Instagram, come look for us. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump Stefano, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Okay, it's official. We are very much in the final sprint to Election Day. And face it, between debates, polling releases, even court appearances, it can feel exhausting, even impossible to keep up with. I'm Brad Milkey. I'm the host of Start Here, the daily podcast from ABC News. And every morning, my team and I get you caught up on the day's news in a quick, straightforward way that's easy to understand, with just enough context so you can listen, get it, and go on with your day. So, kickstart your morning. Start smart with Start Here and ABC News, because staying informed shouldn't feel overwhelming.